Don Rose, and president of U.S. Commodities in West Des Moines, Iowa.
Don, we're seeing crop development in Iowa and across the Corn Belt moving faster than average, and so that sets the stage for a probable early harvest. How might that impact commodity prices this year?
But, you know, and I think that is the case. We're, it's a crop that is maturing very fast. In fact, actually, the corn market is the second fastest maturing crop on record. Only 2012 was faster, and that was a drought year. So that brings up the concern that maybe the yield is not going to be there. Of course, we're close to, you know, the Midwest harvest, and so we're getting nervous feet. But you know, I think what you really have to look for in years like this, that we're looking for verification of the government's large, lofty numbers that they put out in August. So as the harvest begins and as it picks up into some of the bigger Corn Belt areas, we're going to watch to see if the yield verifies. If the yield is there and grows, we usually get a typical seasonal break into late October, early November. If the harvest yields are disappointing, and in this year, I mean disappointing, even a sub 51 on soybeans, hard to believe, and a sub 77 on corn, the market's probably going to try and react more positive to it, particularly in the corn with this tight supply. So that's where we get the short crop has a long tail. Sure, if the crop's not as big as we think, it'll rally a bit into harvest as people try to secure those supplies, and then you drift lower.
Yeah, I think back to last year, and it seemed like a lot of folks were anticipating a not-so-great crop, and then the combine started rolling, and lo and behold, we had outstanding yields again. And so I wonder, Don, as you try to position yourself here for a lot of unknowns, once that harvest begins, you've got some upside potential, but certainly some downside risk to manage.
Yeah, you know, we still do have some downside risk. And, you know, the good to excellent rating here this afternoon came out at 68% on corn, and the five-year average is 67.6. But if you remember last year, we were trading under the five-year average on corn, and we came up with that big record yield. On soybeans, we're at 65% good to excellent. We're just about six-tenths under the the five-year average. So there are carries in the market, Mark, and so what that means from December to July, you have almost a 24-cent carry. So that means you cover your interest plus almost 2 cents a month storage. Same thing in soybeans. From November out to July of next year, you have about a 43-44-cent carry. So you, same thing, covers interest plus over 2 cents a month storage. So those are things that you have to take advantage of as we get into harvest. Typically, as we harvest, is no time to get overly bullish.
Certainly, it's not been a year to be greedy, but I'm thinking about Chinese officials coming to Washington, D.C. this week. We're hearing some positive news on the NAFTA front. If we get something big to break on trade, Don, and you're talking about that carry in the market, you could start forward pricing some pretty lucrative contracts.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that there's no doubt that when you look at the Chinese situation, we're about $1.80 cheaper than Brazil right now on soybeans. So you can see that gap will narrow very quickly if we have some kind of a positive trade or resolution to some of these tariffs. And then if you take wheat by itself, we have very tight stocks-to-use ratio in the world, tightest since 2013. And the world corn stocks-to-use ratio is also at multi-decade lows. So it's not like you have bearish situations in the corn or the wheat. It's the soybeans have a bearish tint to them, but that also is predicated on a slower export pace. And it's also predicated that we're going to have lofty yields and that South America is going to have a large crop. So all of those things, any of them by themselves could change, or all of them could change and change the dynamics of a bearish market.
I do want to ask you about the hog market here briefly, too, but anything else on crops, Don?
You know, I think that is really it. I think we also have to watch the dollar, because the dollar has been very strong, and it certainly is an anchor for exports, and it helps propel imports into the United States.
China has now reported a third case of African swine flu. We've seen these cases in three different provinces of the country, so this thing could be widespread. And when you look at the tariff on U.S. pork right now, what are your thoughts on potential needs by China to feed that huge population in the U.S. and all of the uncertainty with the current trade situation, but maybe this pushing things forward faster, perhaps, or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, I think if you look at it, it looks like the administration is, for the luck of the draw, is boxing the Chinese into a corner, because typically, back to the soybeans, they usually take about a third of their imports are from the United States, and usually they take the lion's share of those as our at our harvest because the basis is under pressure. So this year we have the tariffs, so you know that's a real issue for the Chinese on soybeans. Then when you look at the pork at the same time, they also put a 62% tariff on pork imports. Now, typically, they take about 6% of our imports on pork. But if they have a disease that continues to expand, the African swine fever, remember, it's very contagious. It's not harmful for the humans, but it can spread through various methods, through vehicles, through other animals, through people. And their slaughtering plants are upwards of 1,400 miles apart, and these animals have traveled some of those areas. So, you know, you look at it, and it's a real question mark. What's going to happen? Is the disease spreading or not? Can you? It's a very contagious if it's not isolated. So the Chinese, while they may need soybeans right at this time, they may also need the end product, and that's the pork, processed pork. So it's one that I think that's really why last week we were up $8 on hogs. It was a combination of maybe a Mexican deal, African swine fever, some liquidation of our herd here in the U.S. It all spelled a positive market. But as we end the day, the October hogs are trading about $16 higher than they should be on a normal basis. So we've got an awful lot of bullish news dialed in.
Yeah, luck of the draw with the Trump administration, you say, China getting boxed in with soybeans and pork supply potentially here with the African swine fever. And so you're suggesting President Trump got lucky here.
Well, you know, it looks like it was probably more programmed on the soybeans where you're trying to push these tariffs at a time when they really need the soybeans on harvest. That one looks more programmed. As far as the disease situation and needing pork, that one looks like it's more of a luck of the draw. You know, hard to calculate if somebody knew how far in advance that there was disease issues popping up. But, you know, these diseases pop up very quickly like we had in the PED virus. And we always say on the grain market, the great equalizer is weather. And we always say in the hog market, the great equalizer is disease. And remember, it was the PED virus that propelled hogs in the U.S. to over 130 a pound. So that's the thing that we watch always, and it looks like they have some issues over there.
Well, Trump, a master negotiator, he'll take whatever he can get, right?
Well, you know, I think from an American farmer, an American hog producer, sometimes you say that you'd rather be lucky than good, and you'll take what you can get as long as it's a positive reaction.
Good stuff today, Don. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Mark.